Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. You will stay in that day. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for you were angry with me, and your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, my God is my salvation. I will trust, and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the word to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, and he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, These many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, our culture is changing rapidly and dramatically in a wide variety of ways. We're all aware of it. One of the places that societal change is evident is right here in church. The changes are generally not considered positive. Church participation is down across the board nationally, particularly among the younger demographics. And churches have typically responded by emphasizing marketing or even re-messaging. The result has been a real confusion as to what the purpose and role of the church is, and especially confusion about the message of the church. I've mentioned before a conversation I had with a friend in Yakima a few years ago. I told him I'd never tell anyone how to vote from the pulpit, and he was astonished. Then what do you talk about? As if the message of Christianity is political. Who to vote for or not vote for. That's not the message of Christianity. Nor is the message of Christianity primarily moral. Islam is a religion of law, a religion of morality, keeping the law. Mormonism is a religion of morality. All the Eastern religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, are religions of morality and ethics. That's not the focus of Christianity. In fact, acclaimed Reformation theologian and prolific author Michael Horton said, "When we pitch Christianity as the best method of personal improvement, complete with testimonies about how much better we are since we surrendered all, non-Christians can legitimately challenge us, saying, what right do you have to say that your method is the only way or source of happiness or exciting experiences or moral betterment? Jesus is clearly not the only way to a better life now or to being a better me." If the purpose and message of Christianity is not to promote a political perspective, or even to change your behavior, what is the primary purpose and message of Christianity? Jesus told this parable we just read to the most piously righteous and religious people in Israel. And those people hated Jesus. Why did they hate him? Because Jesus befriended and consorted with the most obvious and blatant sinners and lowlifes imaginable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided his property. The way the story starts off, it's hard to believe. In our culture, to ask your parents for your inheritance in advance is like telling them that you wish they were dead. It's very disrespectful. But in that culture, it would have been even worse. It was unheard of. But this is a parable. It's fiction. So in the story, the father went ahead and divided his property and gave his younger son what would have been his share of the inheritance. So this kid goes out, and it's pretty predictable. He travels far from home, far from the watchful eye of family, and he squanders everything on drugs, booze, hookers, and anything else he can waste his money on. He's a complete and total train wreck. Eventually, he burned through his entire considerable fortune. And then a famine hit, and things got even worse. He was starving, and the only miserable job he could find didn't even pay enough to feed him. So one day, in utter despair, he came up with an idea. What if he returned home and asked his father to take him back, not as a son, but as an employee? His father's servants had it so much better than he had it. He had nothing to lose. So he concocted a speech, a sort of half apology, half request for a job, and even practiced his speech. And he headed back home, a journey that took him many, many days of walking. Finally, the exhausted son rounded a bend in the road, and home came within view. At the same time, his father spotted his son on the dusty road, far off in the distance. This kid had been gone a long time. The father could have reacted a variety of ways. He could have waited and dealt with his son when he actually reached home. And when his son arrived home, he could have rejected him. He could have refused him status as either a son or an employee. He could have sent him back the other direction. He had every right. The father could have treated his son the same way his son had treated him. But here's what happened. Here's what the father did. Seeing his son in the distance, he broke into a run toward his son. And when the father reached his son on the road, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the startled son launched into his speech, asking for forgiveness and asking for a job. But the father wasn't listening. Instead, he shouted to his servants to bring his son a robe to wear, to bring him a ring with the family insignia, marking him as a son. And he had them bring him sandals to put on his bare feet. And he shouted to his servants to kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a feast and celebrate because this son of mine was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and now is found. And the party started. And it was quite a party. In fact, the older son, who'd been working all day out in the fields, he heard the music and dancing in the distance. And he called one of the servants, asking him what was going on. Your brother has returned, and your father has killed the fattened calf to celebrate. You'd think this older brother would have been happy. He wasn't. In fact, he was mad as hell. In fact, even when his father came out and begged him to come and join the party, the older son refused. Look, he said, all these years I've worked hard, and never once did I disobey your orders. Yet I never had a party thrown for me. But now this son of yours who squandered your wealth on prostitutes comes home. You've killed the fattened calf and invited all his friends. And the parable ends with the younger son, the disobedient son, the immoral son, inside enjoying the party, singing and dancing. And the older son, the son who never did anything wrong, the parable ends with him standing outside the party, refusing to go in, despite his father's pleas. Here's the point. The father represents God. The younger son who squandered his father's fortune represents those who we would guess, based on their behavior and attitude, to be outside of God's love and mercy and forgiveness. The older son represents those who, from our viewpoint, have done everything right in terms of pleasing God. He represents those who are moral, who fulfill their obligations, who do what they're supposed to do. And the party with the fattened calf and the music and the dancing, that represents heaven. So at the end of the parable, the last guy we'd expect to be in heaven is the guest of honor in heaven. The prodigal son who did everything wrong. He's in heaven singing and dancing and feasting with the best of them. And the guy who's done everything possible to earn God's favor, the guy who assumed that our relationship with God is all about morality, and that he deserves God's favor because he's done everything right, he's standing outside of heaven, refusing to go in. The purpose and message of Christ is not to change you into the best person you can possibly be, but to take you as you are and love you, forgive you, and reconcile you to the Father. Every religion has law, a code of ethics. What makes Christianity completely unique from Islam or Mormonism or Hinduism or Buddhism? What makes it unique and different from any other religious truth claim is the gospel. The law is what God demands, and the gospel is what God gives. And what God demands of you in the law, he gives to you in the gospel. God demands perfection, and you've been given the perfect righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Jesus died on a cross for you to atone for your sin. God forgives you and continues to forgive you. He hears your prayers. He loves you even when no one else does. He will never abandon you. Be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to absorb this shocking message in the parable of the prodigal son, and also cause it to fill us with joy and deep gratitude toward you. Not only deep gratitude toward you, but also humility before one another. Help it to sink in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.